Radio Krishna presents Stories from the Vedic Scripture, the Srimad Bhagavatam. Originally written in Sanskrit several thousand years ago by Srila Dwaipayan Vyasadeva, it was translated into English by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder and spiritual guide of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. The adaptation of today's story appeared in the book Coming Back, published by the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust in Los Angeles. Your narrator is Amala Bhaktidas. And now today's story, entitled Ajamil Saved from Death's Servants.
My name is Ajamil, and I once lived in the city of Kanyakubja, India, many thousands of years ago. I was a young, upright Brahmin priest, but one day I fell from the path of spiritual life and lost all of my good qualities. Let me tell you about it. In my youth, I studied all the Vedic literatures. I was a reservoir of good character and conduct. I was very mild and gentle, and I kept my mind and senses under control. I was always truthful, knew how to chant the Vedic mantras, and was very pure. I always showed proper respect to my spiritual master, guests, and the elderly members of my household. Indeed, I was free from false prestige. I was benevolent to all living beings and never envied anyone. But one day, following the order of my father, I went to the forest to collect fruits and flowers. On the way home, I came upon a very lusty, low-class man, shamelessly embracing and kissing a prostitute. The man was smiling and singing and enjoying himself, as if this were proper behavior. Both the man and the prostitute were drunk. The prostitute's eyes were rolling in intoxication, and her dress, it had become loose, partially exposing her body. When I saw this prostitute, the dormant, lusty desires in my heart awakened, and in illusion, I fell under their control. I tried to remember the instructions of the scriptures, and with the help of my knowledge and intellect, I tried to control my lust. But because of the force of Cupid within my heart, I was unable to control my mind. After that, I always thought of the prostitute, and within a short time, I took her in as a servant in my house. I then gave up all my spiritual practices. I spent the money I had inherited from my father for presents for the prostitute, and even rejected my beautiful young wife, who came from a respectable Brahmin family. Then I got money any way I could, legally and illegally, robbing and gambling, and used to maintain the prostitute's sons and daughters. By the time I was 88 years old, I had fathered 10 sons by the prostitute. The youngest, a baby, was named Narayan, one of the names of the Supreme Lord Vishnu. I was very attached to my young son and derived great pleasure watching the child's early attempts to walk and talk. One day, without warning, the time of my death arrived. Terrified, I saw before me gruesome figures with fierce, twisted faces. These subtle beings, with ropes in their hands, had come to forcibly escort me to the court of Yamaraj, the Lord of Death. Seeing these ghoulish creatures, I became bewildered. And out of affection for my beloved child, who was playing just a short distance away, I began to cry loudly, "Narayan! Narayan!" With tears in my eyes, weeping for my young son, I unconsciously chanted the holy name of the Lord. Hearing their master's name chanted with great feeling by me, the servants of Lord Vishnu, the Vishnu Dutas, arrived within a second. They appeared like Lord Vishnu himself. Their eyes were exactly like the petals of a lotus flower. They wore helmets of burnished gold, glimmering silk garments the color of topaz. And their perfectly formed bodies were decorated with garlands of sapphire and milk-white lotuses. They appeared fresh and youthful, and their dazzling effulgence illuminated the darkness of the death chamber. In their hands they held bows, arrows, swords, conch shells, clubs, discs, and lotus flowers. The Vishnu Dutas saw the servants of Yamaraj, the Yama Dutas, snatching my soul from the core of my heart, and with resounding voices they cried, "Stop! Stop!" The Yama Dutas, who had never before encountered any opposition, trembled upon hearing the Vishnu Dutas' harsh command and asked,
"Who are you? Why are you trying to stop us? We are the servants of Yamaraj, the Lord of Death."
The agents of Vishnu smiled and spoke in voices as deep as the rumbling of rain clouds.
"If you are truly the servants of Yamaraj, you must explain to us the meaning of the cycle of birth and death. Tell us, who must enter this cycle and who must not?"
Yamadutas replied,
"The sun, fire, sky, air, demigods, moon, evening, day, night, the directions, water, land, and the supersoul, or the Lord within the heart, all witness the activities of everyone. The candidates for punishment in the cycle of birth and death are those who are confirmed by these witnesses to have deviated from their religious duties. In proportion to the extent of one's religious or irreligious actions in this life, one must enjoy or suffer the corresponding reactions of karma in the next." Originally, the living beings exist in the spiritual world as eternal servants of God. But when they give up the service of the Lord, they must enter the material universe, comprised of the three modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. The living beings who desire to enjoy this material world come under the control of the modes, and according to their specific relationship with these modes, acquire suitable material bodies. A being in the mode of goodness obtains the body of a demigod. One in the mode of passion takes birth as a human, and one in the mode of ignorance enters the lower species. All of these bodies are like the bodies we experience in dreams. When a man goes to sleep, he forgets his real identity and may dream that he has become a king. He cannot remember what he was doing before he went to sleep, nor can he imagine what he will do upon waking. In the same way, when a soul identifies with a temporary material body, he forgets his real spiritual identity, as well as any previous lives in the material world. Although most souls in a human body have already transmigrated through all 8,400,000 species of life. The living entity thus transmigrates from one material body to another in human life, animal life, and life as a demigod. When the living entity gets the body of a demigod, he is very happy. When he gets a human body, he is sometimes happy, sometimes sad. And when he gets the body of an animal, he is always fearful. In all conditions, however, he suffers terribly, experiencing birth, death, disease, old age. His miserable condition is called samsara, or transmigration of the soul to different species of material life. The foolish embodied living entity, unable to control his senses or his mind, is forced to act according to the influence of the modes of material nature, even against his own desires. He is like a silkworm that uses its own saliva to create a cocoon, and then becomes trapped in it. The living entity traps himself in a network of his own fruitive activities, then can find no way to free himself. Thus, he is always bewildered and repeatedly dies and is reborn. Because of his intense material desires, a living entity takes birth in a particular family and receives a body like that of either the mother or the father. That body is an indication of his past and future bodies, just as one springtime is an indication of past and future springtimes. The human form of life is especially valuable, because only a human can understand the transcendental knowledge that can free him from this cycle of birth and death. But Ajamil, he has wasted his human life. And before death, He did not undergo atonement. Therefore, because of his sinful life, we must take him to the court of Yamaraj. There, according to the extent of his sinful acts, he will be punished and then returned to the material world in a suitable body. After hearing the statements of the Yamadutas, the servants of Lord Vishnu, who are always expert in logic and argument, replied,
"How painful it is to see that those in charge of upholding religious principles are needlessly punishing an innocent person. Ajamil has already atoned for all of his sins. Indeed, he has atoned not only for sins performed in this life, but for those performed in millions of previous lives as well, because he chanted the holy name of Narayan in a helpless state of mind at the time of death. Therefore, he is now pure and eligible for liberation from the cycle of reincarnation." The chanting of the holy name of Lord Vishnu is the best process of atonement for a thief or a drunkard, or for one who betrays a friend or relative, for one who kills a priest, or for one who indulges in sex with the wife of his guru or another superior. It is also the best method of atonement for one who murders women, the king, or his father, for one who slaughters cows, and for all other sinful men. Simply by chanting the holy name of Lord Vishnu, such sinful persons may attract the attention of the Supreme Lord, who therefore considers, "Because this man has chanted my holy name, it is my duty to give him protection." One who chants the holy name of the Lord is immediately freed from the reactions of unlimited sins, even if he chants jokingly or for musical entertainment. This is accepted in the scriptures and by all learned scholars. If one chants the holy name of Lord Krishna and then dies in an accident or is killed by a deadly animal, from disease, or by a weapon, one is immediately freed from having to take birth again. As a fire burns dry grass to ashes, the holy name of Krishna burns to ashes all of one's karmic reactions. If a person, unaware of the potency of a medicine, takes that medicine, or is forced to take it, it will act even without his knowledge. Even if one does not know the value of chanting the holy name of the Lord, the chanting will still be effective in liberating one from reincarnation. At the time of death, Ajamil helplessly and very loudly chanted the holy name of the Lord, Narayan. That chanting alone has already freed him from having to take birth again for his sinful life. Therefore, do not try to take him to your master for punishment by another term of imprisonment in a material body.
The Vishnu Dutas then released me from the ropes of the servants of the Lord of Death. I came to my senses and, free from fear,
paid my heartfelt respects to the Vishnu Dutas by bowing my head at their feet. But when the Vishnu Dutas saw that I was trying to say something to them, they disappeared. Then I wondered, was this a dream I saw, or was it reality? I saw fearsome men with ropes in their hands coming to drag me away. Where have they gone? And where are those four radiant persons who saved me? I then began to reflect on my life. Being a servant of my senses, how degraded I became. I fell down from my position as a saintly Brahmin and begot children in the womb of a prostitute. Indeed, I gave up my chaste and beautiful young wife. What's more, my father and mother were old and had no other friend or son to look after them. Because I did not take care of them, they lived with great pain and difficulty. It is now clear that a sinful person like myself should have been forced in his next life to suffer hellishly. I am such an unfortunate person, but now that I have another chance, I must try to become free from the vicious cycle of birth and death. I immediately renounced my prostitute wife and journeyed to Hardwar, a place of pilgrimage in the Himalaya Mountains. There I took shelter at a Vishnu temple, where I practiced Bhakti Yoga, the yoga of devotional service to the Supreme Lord. When my mind and intelligence were fixed in perfect meditation on the form of the Lord, I again saw before me four celestial beings. Recognizing them as the same Vishnu Dutas who had saved me from the agents of death, I bowed down before them in joy. There, at Hardwar, on the banks of the Ganges, I gave up my temporary material body and regain my eternal spiritual form. Accompanied by the Vishnu Dutas, I boarded a golden aircraft and, passing through the airways, went directly to the abode of Lord Vishnu, never again to reincarnate in this material world. And I hope and pray that all of you who have now heard my story will do the same. Hare Krishna.
Today's story was entitled Ajamil Saved from Death's Servants and was presented by Radio Krishna at the KHQN Studios in Los Angeles, California. It was derived from the Vedic scripture, the Srimad Bhagavatam, translated from the Sanskrit by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada,
founder and spiritual guide of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. The adaptation for radio appeared in the book Coming Back, published by the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust in Los Angeles. The engineering and musical selections were under the direction of Vaibhavi Devidasi. Your narrator was Amala Bhaktadas.